Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, The Writing Corner. My name is Michelle Cohen-Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and my co-host, Jamie White, is joining me. And tonight, we're chatting with author C.P. Bio-Lewis, who's here to give us tips and techniques to just polish up our writings and get everything tip-top condition. Guys, welcome to the show. As you can tell, I forgot my complete intro. That's what I get from the wing it. I had no idea what I was saying. I have no idea. But welcome. How are you guys? Woo!
Okay,
and I can't even
like
use nano anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's been one of those, like, it's actually kind of been one of those, like, weeks, you know, just like, you know, coming off the nano. Thing.
That's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna keep saying it's a nano, you know, after effect or whatever or something. I don't know what it is.
It's a real thing. It happens.
I know. It's like I'm huddled up mentally in a corner with some cocoa. I can't even function right now. But anyway, guys, welcome. I feel like it's been forever since we chatted. I know it hasn't been, but it feels like forever. So. Awesome. Glad you're back. CP, you've had a birthday. Happy birthday. How was it?
Thank you. I'm pretty good. I got spoiled a little bit. I found a book in the store. It's like the original Star Trek episodes, original series. They actually wrote like 45, and they rewrote a short story based off the script. So Jamie got that for me for my birthday. So I'm looking forward to cracking that sucker open and reading it.
Jamie! Very cool. Very cool. So you're a Trekkie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like that term?
Yes,
he is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm fine. Trekkie, Trekker, nerd, geek, whatever. I mean, I own them all. It's me.
Yeah, you're like, that's me. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. What about Star Wars? Are you one of the Star Wars fans as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm another big Star Wars fan. I'm going to probably get yelled at by someone saying this, but I'm also probably one of the few Star Wars and Star Trek fans that do not like the new movies.
Really?
I don't like the three new ones from Star Trek, and I saw episode 7. It's like, eh. You know, to me, it's the good movie is known, but just doesn't really, to me, it doesn't time the rest of the series. I mean, I'm looking forward to Rogue One, but for the most part, I mean, I like the old expanded universe, and while I had its problems, I would have preferred to have them actually maybe bring some of that in officially instead of kind of backdooring it, like, we're not going to use expanded universe, but it needs expanded universe type of thing. You know, so
it's
like, I enjoyed the movie, but it wasn't like the old Star Wars movie. To me, it really didn't tie into the others that well.
Now,
you know,
is it trying to go more from the books, you think, maybe? Maybe they're trying to start pulling from the books.
Well, I think they're trying to combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing that, they're actually kind of, lack of a better term, screwing up the mythos that was built in the expanded universe.
Right,
you know, like,
that's what you're saying.
Han Solo and Leia's son, his name was Jason. Mm-hmm. Jason and Jane are twins, and they had a younger son named Anakin. You know, Ben was actually Luke Skywalker's son. You know, he's named after Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh.
You know, so they kind of...
Why do they do
this? And I don't know. I'm a real strickler for things like that. Like, the new Captain America movie, they changed so much of it, it took me like 5 tries to watch it. He's got a huge fan of his in the comics, and they changed like everything outside of his hair color and the doctor's name that, you know, changed. I mean, like, you know, after they changed so much of the history, it's like, it just drove me nuts watching that first movie. It took me like 5 tries to get past the first 20 minutes. So
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just love having. Okay, this is the history. This is the history. You know, if you're gonna take from one, then actually take it, you know, straight up. You know, be honest about it. That's just kind of my thought on it. Don't sit there and like, okay, we'll change his name to Ben. I'm like, but that was Luke and, you know, Mary Jade Skywalker's son's name.
Wow.
You know, so I'm kind of like, eh. You know, I just see those kind of things. That kind of just gives me like a little twitch. You know,
it is.
So
it
kind of
bothers you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's
why
not,
do they do
like,
that? Why little minutia things like that do you wonder why they – why not just give them the right names? I wonder why they do things like that. I can understand bigger things, maybe to make it fit, work, or trim, but just little things, you know, that's weird to me. I don't understand.
Yes, and I just noticed, like, my dad used to tell me all the time, we watching a movie, he goes, hey, you notice how that was in his left hand the last scene? I'm like – like, oh, man, how do you see this? He's like, oh, pay attention, boy. You'll see
yeah,
it.
Really?
Pay attention. And he would just point those things out, like, oh, how many times he clicked something, or he had a green tie in the last scene, and now he has a blue tie. And I'm just sitting there,
yeah.
like, can't you just enjoy the movie? You know, so he kind of got me thinking that every time I watch a movie, especially if it's mythos I know, it's kind of like, no, you can't do no, that's not that, that's this.
No,
you know,
we do the same thing. We really, really
yeah,
do.
Just,
like, we do
that
in
my
this
head,
household.
And, yeah, and for me, it kind of lessens my enjoyment of it. It takes me a while to actually accept it. Okay, I can enjoy this on its own, but not
right.
as part of the rest of the series. It just, like,
right.
it's like Jurassic World. It's kind of, you know, broke away from the mythos of the first three movies. Good movie.
Right.
Like I said, both that and Star Wars are good movies, but to me, they just didn't connect with the other movies.
It is.
Yeah,
and like I was saying, I don't understand why they do. Now, you're right. I do. If I know the mythos, or if I know the backstory, if I know the history, I've read the book, whatever the case may be, and it's different, I do. I spend my time looking. I see the differences as well, and that does drive me crazy. I guess I just really just don't understand why they change such little minute details. Why, you know, I can understand that they needed to, you know, change the storyline and cut it down or whatever, but, you know, I just wonder what was the point in making changing the name. See, I never knew that, you know, because I don't read the book. So I wonder why they changed the children's names. Now, I will say there is a What do you call it when you not a hypothesis, when you're you know not a hunch when you're thinking that they may go a certain way. My
okay,
husband
yeah.
who does, yeah,
theory?
He is a big fan. What? What'd you say?
A theory.
Theory. Yes, that's it. He's thinking that the girl.
I did it again.
That the girl is somehow Luke's daughter. Did she have a daughter? Did he have a daughter?
No.
I don't know, but. Yeah, see.
No, that's the original my thought.
Like, no.
Originally, I mean, I heard that theory. Mine is like her and actually Ben are brother and sister. So that's actually Jason Jane and so.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
Was,
you don't
that
think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that was my theory. They're actually the twins that are separated for some reason, some
yeah.
way, somehow they were separated. But the new theory is that the girl is actually Luke Skywalker's daughter. You know, and
I mean,
like kind of okay.
Didn't I say Luke? Yeah, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean, it's theories abounding out there. I mean, like a lot of times they just want to put their own stamp on. They want to do it their way. Maybe tweak it slightly, so it's like okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, most people won't care, and
yeah.
really, if I wasn't a fan of it, I wouldn't really care. It's just for me, I'm just a stickler with that stuff. I just like to have,
right.
you know, certain facts. Like if someone said something, whether real life or in TV or whatever, like no, he
yeah,
actually said
it.
This.
Yeah,
you know, he actually
said
this instead of that. You know, I'm just very, like I'm just anal at that. I just pops it says the flag. I'm like, no, this is actually what they said. It's actually
I
what
love
it's
that.
Meant.
Like, no.
Or they did
no.
this, and they're like this, and you know, and people just kind of look at me. So you didn't like it? I'm like, nah, it's good. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say I liked
right.
it. You know, it's
yeah,
kind of like I didn't mind watching
really.
It, but it's not something I would pay money to buy and watch over and over. It's just, you know, a lot of times
right.
or anything like that. Like just various movies or series, whether it's because of that. You know, and that's
right.
and that's where, you know, actually it's actually kind of a cool, really cool segue in a way because it's like that's actually one thing I was going to talk about tonight was like when you're doing when you're doing a series or just a story in general. We get comfortable
uh-huh.
doing our own thing. Like, so like,
mm-hmm.
that, like they wrote, whenever they wrote the movies, they're doing their thing. They took from this, they took from that, and they kind of maybe put their own twist on it. And because
mm-hmm.
the Expanded Universe wasn't actually canon, so they put their own twist on it, their own tweaks. But
mm-hmm.
for me, I found recently, at some point, we have to actually be open enough and have the ability to actually stop for a second and look at our work and say, okay, are we actually doing this as best as we can?
Okay.
Then for myself, the last couple years, I fell into a trap where I was actually doing more character-based. Like, I always did character-based, but then it was almost always what they're feeling, what they're experiencing. And from life of me, I could not figure out why I used to write books of, like, you know, 1,000 words, and now I'm kind of struggling to get a chapter, like, over 5 pages, when it used to be, like, 8 to 10 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about it. It's like, okay, why am I doing this wrong? What's going on? And, like I said, I watched Jurassic World in, you know, Episode 7. I'm like, okay, I like the movies, but, you know, for me, they're just kind of disconnected. I started looking at that and a couple other things, and it kind of dawned on me all of a sudden, you know, because when I read books sometimes, I'll sit there, why can't I describe that? Why can't I do something like this in my – why am I missing this? And it's kind of dawned
mm-hmm.
on me that I got comfortable. You know, people tell me I'm a good storyteller, like my writing, and I kind of just I didn't really stop growing because I still kept, you know, evolving my style. But I kind of became comfortable in just strictly focusing on the character's emotions, you know, focusing on what they're going through just to get the reader's attention and kind of twist the reader's heart into knots and everything. I kind of sat there, okay, you know, I just kind of actually kind of looked at it, and I'm like, that was a little aha moment. I'm like, okay, you know, it's like, I see this, I got it now, I kind of put the brakes on, and I'm actually going back to what I did originally when I first started. I was actually trying to put more of the area around them into it. You know, instead of being such a close condition, I'm trying to just distance myself every now and then, just get a feel for what's around them. It's not always what they can see or touch. There's other things in the world besides that. So I'm kind of stepping back and you know, instead of such a tight omniscient style, I'm trying to, you know, back off a little bit. You can see, like, you know, so you can see the forest and the tree, not just a tree. You know, and I was actually sitting the other day thinking, I was like, okay, well, what are the best ways to see it? Like, for me, it was something that's like, okay, it just kind of dawned on me. Because like I said, every time I read books or whatever, I'm like, oh, why don't I put a description like that? I'm like, why did I think of that? Or why can't I do that? Why haven't I been doing that? And it's always kind of sitting there, but it wouldn't click as to what I was doing wrong. Right. And I kind of thought, I was like, okay, well, really for me, there's two ways to actually catch ourselves, and that's a kick on, like the kicker, is we either have to be have the ability to kind of step back and look at us on saying, like, okay, something's missing here, and look at something else saying, okay, well, they're doing this here. Why don't I actually have more description about it? Why don't I actually have more of, like, the world in there instead of what, you know, Thomas is doing walking down the street? You know, kind of starting to dawn on me. I mean, okay, that was my one way. It's like, okay, that kind of woke up, you know, some my head brain and got some synapses firing. You know, because actually I kind of would question that, and we can either step back and question it and actually, okay, how can I improve it ourselves? Or have a writing partner or a critique group or something where the people, while they're not going to be, you know, I never condone tearing someone down and just attacking them and say, well, you need to be in a, you know, in a how to write session or anything like that. I do not condone that at all. Anyone that does that, you know, I basically give you both barrels of my opinions. But to have people actually sit there and be honest, like, okay, look, you need to put more of this in here. You know, this is crap. It's like, it's great to know what they're feeling, but you need to put some of this in, and you almost need that someone actually to tell you that. And to be able to do it and to be able to take the criticism enough to where you're going to be friends afterwards. There's a lot of times someone will sit there, well, this doesn't work, and kind of sit there, and you're going through your head, it's like, you know, are you freaking stupid? You don't understand this, but, you know, you don't say that because you know they're just trying to help you.
Right.
Yeah, I do know some people that say that, so that's kind of a, you know, how you want to go about it, and those are the ones that tend not to have friends, so... You know, so it's actually being open to that kind of criticism, because you can be flying high. You can say, you know, you can be making your sales. You can be getting a bunch of 5-star reviews. Okay, you know, everyone's telling you you're good, you're good, you're good. And it's so easy for us to actually drink that Kool-Aid and start believing that we're this great phenom. We're the awesomest. No one can ever top us. We don't have to learn anymore. Right. And then we get comfortable and get stagnated. It might tweak some ways, but other things we kind of sit there. And like I said, for me, that happens just enough to where I still noticed it, but I couldn't figure out how to break it. That's why I have so many projects going on. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm doing, and I started rewriting my Titanic story, and that's when it kind of started sinking in. You know, writing The Sword and Flame, it kind of started sinking a little bit, and then, like I said, I watched those movies and had my little aha moment. It's like, hey, all right. It's like, I'm just being, you know, again, lack of a better term, a lazy shithead.
Oh, no.
You know, I'm like, I can actually sit there and look at myself. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. This is my thing. It's like, okay. You know, I'm open to actually sit there and accept it. I'm like, all right. You know, I'm doing this. Like, all right, now I got to fix this. Now I got to actually, you know, put myself back in there and actually start writing it the way I want to write it. And that's a kicker. It's like, it's also something I start writing how other people kind of expected me to write. You know, because you always have third person limited, focus on their emotions, focus on this, focus on that. And by doing that, I would kind of ignore the world around them. And I kind of almost do a tunnel vision. So again, that kind of fractured. I was kind of being lazy. I was doing just that bit because that's what people wanted. And it's like, and I, you know, I was able to pull myself back, and that was, you know, that was one method. The other one, like I said, is have a critique group of writing partner. I can sit there and tell you, well, this is crap. You need to work on this. You need to flesh this out some more. You know, and of course, being open to it. If we're not open to criticism, whether it's coming from ourselves or someone else, it's not going to improve. We can easily just sit there and say, well, you know what? I did this. I'm happy with it. It could be better yet, but I'm happy enough. I want to put it out there. And that's when it gets dangerous. I mean, I can say I haven't done that yet. You know, I refuse to put something up. I'm 100% happy with it, but it can get close sometimes. It's tough, you know, because we can be our own worst critics, and we can actually shatter our own confidence to the point where we don't want to write anymore.
That is so true.
You know, but,
we do
need to be able to take that step back and kind of evaluate ourselves and see, okay, am I happy with this?
Right.
You know,
and it's
not easy. One thing I like to, one thing I tell people, read the top authors. Like, read Stephen King. You know, if you
right.
like Stephen King and you want to be, read him, it's want to sit there to be the best, you want to model yourself after the best. And if he's the top of the heart, and he's your idol, then you want to write him. If J.K. Rowling's your idol, then you want to, read her stuff and just, get a feel for how they write. So, okay, how can I try to translate this into my own work? How can I, do the world like they do the world? How can I be so
right.
detailed and so energetic? It's like, it's hard. It's like, unfortunately, it's never easy. But don't be afraid to aim for the best. And I think a lot of people just want to settle to try to get books out to, to get them sold or just to say they're published or whatever it is. But, sometimes it takes time. Don't be afraid and don't worry if it takes you longer than someone else to write a book or put it out. It's about us being taking a step back, seeing what we're doing, and then doing what's right by us and by our book.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm over here. Try not to choke over here. I'm so sorry. These coughs. But I agree with everything that you said. and it's not easy to take that critique. It does get better. Once you understand, as you said, you get it in your head, they're trying to help me. But even after 5 years, it's still, stings. And sometimes you feel like, well, I don't know about you, but I know I do, and I've heard other authors say sometimes, will it ever just come out and, that story, whatever, be perfect? Well, probably not. It's going to take that, that working, the other voices, people listening, and because what happens is when we're writing, we auto-correct in our head. We make it work, whatever the scene is, because we've seen it so much, we know it so much, we know the story so well. So we need that output. But I was going to ask you, you were saying that you felt like you maybe had gotten lazy. Could it be because you have worked in that world for so long? Your world is so intricate. So for years you built it. You know it. So maybe at that point it was just a matter of it just made sense that your characters, if they were in that world for a while, like I'm here in Texas, so I may not notice everything. So maybe, it was just more so a factor of that versus, I don't know, lazy, but you would know better about your writing, but than myself. But I wanted to ask you this question. One thing you said is you focus on the emotion. actually, I went to a lot of the, different little writing conferences and things like that. And that's what they were saying, to do actually what you did was to focus more on the inner thing, the character's reaction versus description. So, and I thought that was weird when I heard it, just to do that. I was hearing that's what you need to do. And I thought it was so odd, because I am used to Stephen King and everything that will, oh, my gosh, he will describe things down to minutia detail. I grew up on Stephen King and things like that. So what do you think about that school of thought? There are school of thoughts that say what you're doing was right, versus filling it up with too much description. What do you think about that?
This is where I start to get in trouble now. if it's what works for you, like each of us have what works for us. If it works for you or anyone else, by means, do it. But like I tell people in a writer's group the whole time, every time it's like, the people, the powers that be, whatever their agents, publishers, whatever, small press, they want everyone to fit in this nice little box. They want everything to do everything uniform. As I keep pointing out to people, if you do everything uniform and you have 3 million people doing the exact same thing, how are you going to stand out?
That's true.
There's like 5 million books or so out there now, and if 3 million people are doing the exact same thing, you better pray to God you either chance upon the occasional reader or you tell a better story than everybody else. And that's hard. This isn't anything for the weak of heart. If you want to actually make a business out of it, a life out of it, you have to really apply yourself and do it. And that's what I tell people. It's like, don't be afraid to stand out. One of my favorite quotes, there are two quotes perfect, because everyone always says you need perfection. Vince Lombardi, perfection isn't attainable, but chase perfection is what the goal is, to get as close to it as you can get. Another one is actually Francis Ford Coppola, where he said, everything you get fired for when you're younger are the same thing they give you awards for life achievement awards when you're older.
That is so cool.
And
there's
so many people
that.
You see, all the people, if you look at the movies, like the Steven Spielbergs, the Quentin Tarantinos, they don't do what everybody else is doing. There's a reason that they're great. In football, in hockey, like Wayne Gretzky, the greatest ever, he was too small. He's too fragile. If they hit him, he's going to break. You know, he was small enough he could avoid the hits, and he's the greatest hockey player ever. He did everything that's not supposed to be done in hockey. He shouldn't have been able to play. Like I said, too small, too slow, this, that, that, that. He got in the ice, and he dominated everybody for years. You know, it's like, and that's the thing. It's like you can either, and it's like I said, it's up to what any of us do. If it work, if we're comfortable, and we enjoy being in, you know, doing like, you know, a certain style, by all means, do it. If it works,
it's
great. You know, but that's one thing I have noticed through many blogs, through articles, and listening to interviews, and people I've known that have been through the major publishers and everything, is everyone wants you to fit in this nice little box. And if you want to stand out, unless you're going to luck out, like with the Twilight or J.K. Rowling and have like the movies made and, you know, find an audience right away, you know, you need something to do something different to get people's attention. You know, I'm not,
that
you know,
is true.
And if it's through your style, if it's something else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, I believe we can feel when we actually care about what we're writing.
Right.
If we're sitting there just trying to make a buck or trying to fill a niche because, oh, well, this niche here is a werewolf zombie children isn't done yet. And we kind of try to fill it. It almost feels wooden. You know, it doesn't have the same type of energy or the feel where someone's actually doing it. And I kind of look at it, if you can have a scene which, say, a mother and daughter just talking and you don't even realize you just read 50 pages of them talking about nothing.
Right.
That's, you know, that's a great job. Someone that loved it and you got lost in that world because you could feel the energy. You could feel the emotion, everything.
Yeah.
Others, it's like, okay, they, you know, they may not have the same style. They may have different technology. They may have to go a faster pace. Like, okay, you say, hi, bye, and that's the end of your scene. Kid walks in, comes the bag walk, runs right back out. And that's your whole scene between scene breaks or whatever. It's just like five sentences between the mother and daughter. Others, again, like 20 pages. You know, people want to see what kind of interaction do they have. You know, so it's really whatever works for each of us. But, you know, don't
I
be afraid
agree
to,
with you.
Just don't be afraid to break the mold. You never know what will happen.
I am actually firmly in your camp as far as the description because I'm one that likes it. I'm one that when I open a book, I like to – I'm like that in real life, you know. You know, and it's so funny. My husband, a joke, you know, he'll say, well, I was talking to someone, and I would want to know, oh, okay, you know, what were they wearing, you know, or, set, you know, it's almost like set the scene. I like to see it. I like, when I read a book, I want to know what's in the room or what's going on. So I love description. So I really did thought, you know, when I was hearing that train of thought, that was like, a year or two ago, you know, it was a little bit difficult for me because I tend not to write like that, unless I'm just doing something, a different type of project, but I'm talking about when I'm just writing a story. So, I agree with you. It's whatever best works or whatnot. So very, very cool.
Because it's actually one thing I do want throughout there. Every time I mention this, whether it's in a blog post or with other people, I always hear, well, Stephen King or J.K. Rowling can do that because of their name. And I said, and my response is always like, by doing that, it's how they got the name.
There you go. I love that.
It's like, you know, because that's why people are debating with me because I have a tendency to turn things around on different questions. You know, it's like, Stephen King became the second highest grossing author in the 20th century, being Agatha Christie, because he did it how he wanted to. Yeah. He told the stories he wanted to tell. You know, J.K. Rowling became great and developed on it because she wrote how she wrote.
Right.
You know, that's. They got that out there because that's, you know, they got to where they are by doing what they wanted to do, how they felt, told their story best.
Right.
You know, yeah, they
and
gave
like
it to some people, editors, and they did conform a little bit, but by probably 90% of it or more is what they intended as a voice. You know, the editors helped them. They helped them find their voice and mold it.
And so many of these people get rejected. You know, you see them after they are already Stephen King or, you know, or at least on the rise or Rowlands or Myers or whoever, but you don't hear their stories of how many times they had to send it out because not many people, you know, not everybody got them, you know, and that, I think that's just the key to it all. You know, as you're saying, if you're true to yourself and you just continue to go on, you know, produce your work, you know, whether you're producing your work, whether you're sending it in to be submitted, whatever the case may be, stay true to what you want to do versus, like you were saying, a trend. Now, if you happen to be writing in that trend and you just like it because you like the trend. That's different. But I'm talking about if you're just doing it for that reason, it won't work. But whatever your heart is in and you keep doing it, eventually, you know, your audience will find you, or you'll find your audience, or whatever the case may be. Because, you know, I've read so many of these stories, and they were rejected and rejected, you know, and rejected, but they kept going, and they kept going. And to find, like Stephen King, I think he threw away Carrie. It was his wife who pulled it out of the wastebasket. And now, if I got the story correctly, and sent it in.
Oh, yeah.
And what would we do without Carrie, you know? So, I mean, you just, and I love what you said. Basically, you learn the rules, and then you can break them. But you do need to learn them. But then after you've learned them, you know, you put your own stamp on it. I love that. I love that, CP. I really do. Jimmy, what do you think about all of this?
I'm with you guys. I think we keep saying it at all the meetings. It's like you got to do what, you know, works for you. You can't like sit there and try and fit into some box.
Right.
You know, just because you read in different places that you're supposed to be in that box.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if you can't, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with it, or you feel more comfortable with, like,
something,
you know, focusing more on those characters and everything, more on the setting, you know, whichever one it is, it's like that's what you should do, because that's what you're, you know, what you enjoy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the best way
to
look at it is like, you know, like the best way to look at it, not all of us are, not all of us can walk in a straight line or color inside the lines or sit like, so listen to a lecture. You know, some of us will wander off. We'll call out sidelines because we have a better different idea. Or in school, I know a lot of people can probably test this. Your teacher's lecturing about something to do in math, English, history, whatever, and you find this post on the wall about reading or about whatever, and you just find it so fascinating, a lot more fascinating what you're hearing. You know, not everyone's going to sit there and kind of toe the line, and that's something, you know, that's something you need to embrace. You know, not everyone's the same. Not everyone's going to fit in the little cookie-cutter, you know, boundaries that others want to put us into.
Thank God.
I
mean, that's great, because it would be so boring if we all did.
Yeah, my favorite thing, I say this a lot to people, about 4 years ago on Twitter, I woke up one day, I signed on, and a gentleman named Frank Leslie, he's an author, he's a retired officer from Wales, and right on my Twitter, right in front of everybody, said, your writing is so refreshing, you trust your readers, thank you.
Wow.
And I screen capped that, and that's when I was getting bombarded, because I was like, don't write a mission. You'll sell more if you write limited. You're an idiot for doing this. You don't know what you're doing. Blah, blah. I'm hearing that from everybody. Like, you show some potential. You're this. You have to do what we say. And I'm getting bombarded with it. I'm actually questioning it. And I guess with a call up aside and a sort of flames you read. And he actually said that right on Twitter. And I'm like, thank you. Right there. I mean, someone got it. You know, finally someone, it was like someone, you know, I never really met outside of Twitter. You know, it's like, and he said that. I woke up one morning and right there, that was just shot through the roof. It's like, thank you. Someone understands it. You know, maybe I'm not maybe I'm not such a big idiot after all. You know, maybe actually mostly just, you know, so I'm like, okay, and that's when I kind of started embracing that more. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right. You know, I started getting good feedback from some people. I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right. You know, I'm not just, you know, blindly bumbling my way through the woods like it felt. You know, with everybody on the side. And sometimes that little reaffirmation is all you need. You know,
really,
I mean, it's,
it really is.
You know, that little thing, it's like, if one person gets it, it's like, it doesn't matter if you have like 10,000 people against you, that one person gets it, it's like the 10,000 don't count all of a sudden. You know, it's like, okay, thank you. You know, and that's why it's so
important for feedback, you know, like, you know, to those that are listening to readers or whatever, because, you know, writing, you know, is tough. I mean, it's fun, don't get me wrong. And when you hit a certain zone, it's awesome and exhilarating and it's all this other things. But it takes a lot to continue, you know, just to keep, you know, for others that are submitting to houses and, you know, because those gatekeepers are looking more at the bottom line. And, you know, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. But they're looking more at the bottom line than really what is, you know, something that's unique and refreshing. So that gave birth to the indie movement, you know. But then with that, it's just so many of us out here, you know, and we can get lost in the crowd. So it takes, I think, a certain, you know, whatever, to just say, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep. And I think that's anybody with any dream, I guess. But it's nice to hear feedback. You know, it's nice if you've read someone's book, you know, send them a note, send them a message, write something, you know, Facebook group, something. And it really will almost, I think, juice them up for the next, what, 6 months or something. I don't know. But I think that's cool. That's very cool. So.
Oh, yeah. If nothing else, it helps solidify the stubborn streak.
Yeah.
You know, if you're wavering a little bit and you see that one person get it, it's like you just sit there and like, yeah, F you, you're my man. You're my sister, whatever. You know, it's like right there. That's my brother. That's my sister right there. Everyone else, you know, F you all. It's like, I'm doing it. See, he gets it. You know, it's like it kind of flies in the whole face of the whole the majority agrees or disagrees thing and that. Like, our visions are a different thing. But something like that, it's like, okay. You know, it's like the vindication. It's like, yeah, I'm not as big an idiot as everyone's making me sound.
I love
awesome.
It. That's right.
Like, thank you.
So,
you know, and it's, you know, and like I said, I am happy to say that Omniscient is coming back right now. Third Person Omniscient is actually coming back. And I'm not taking credit for it, but I am happy to be part of that movement by writing most of my stuff in Omniscient. You know, it's all about personal taste. And that's the best thing. It's like, if it's what you want to read, write it. Write it how you would want to read it. Write it like that. You know, it's like that. You're writing for yourself. You're writing your story. You're writing it for yourself. If you enjoy it, other people will find and enjoy it. It may take a little longer, you know, than you expect, or it should. But, yeah, you will find people that will like it and they'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing.
That's right. Don't give up. You know, and, you know, we are down to time, but I want to say, and I know you did it at the very beginning when you started the Writing Corner, I think a couple years ago. But I would love, you know, if you maybe revisit, you know, because we've gained so many new people, you know, if it's possible, you know, to work into the rotation, maybe going back over those basic, you know, elements of writing, literally, you know, what is omniscient? What is limited? What is those things? What is character? You know, you heard people say, what is it? Not character run, but, you know, everything is, there's a word for it. Plot. It's plot. No, not plot. Okay. But, you know, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, plot-based.
Plot-based, and then there's character-based. You know, and even to me, I get still foggy, you know, like, you know, because they do that with actors. They're like, I can't even remember the name of it, but you know what I'm saying, people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that would be maybe great. I mean, maybe working to the rotation for the next year. For those, because we have, and we thank everyone that is coming to the page, and I've seen, you know, even in this, you know, just, you know, on Blog Talk ourselves, so many of you are coming and you're listening and everything, and we just appreciate that. So with so many new people, I think it would be awesome if we could just, you know, go back sometimes to the basics here and there. Because we're throwing out terms, and they may be like, what? Because I still, guys, CP's like rocks. I mean, Jamie, too. They're talking, and I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't even know that was an element. Like, what are they saying? You know, I've been out here for 5 years and following them for 5 years, and I'm like, I have no idea, you know. But I learn something every time. I really do. That's why I really do like, I really love all our segments. Don't get me wrong. I have so much fun. But I love the Writing Corner. Because I actually do learn a lot. I learn a lot about the techniques techniques of writing every time I hear CP talks. Because Jamie and CP, they're editors for one, guys. There you go. Yeah, editors. So you can get an editor telling you the things. Because, you know, not every writer is editor. A lot of us writers are like, oh, we are like, and then the editors, you know, come behind us and get it all together. But they're both. So they can put it in writer speak for us, you know. And so, you know, take advantage of that. Start listening, you know, to the segments. Go back to the old segments. Maybe follow them on, follow them on social media. Go to Fiverr because they're there. And take advantage of this because I think it will really help you guys in the long run. Did not mean to go off on that soliloquy. CP, we are down. What would be the, and I hope I use that term right, but CP, what would be, to tie it all together, what would you like them to take away tonight?
Well, like I always say, be true to yourself. You know, don't be afraid to break out of the box. You know, the harder someone tries to keep you in there, maybe someone's telling you that it's better to break out of it. You know, don't be afraid to spread your wings. And also, I just want to point out too, Michelle, you read my mind like I usually do yours. I was actually thinking about that the last couple of weeks about revisiting some of the old topics.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad about that. And what he's saying is, and I'm serious, guys, it's gotten to the point of eerie and scary. We never discussed beforehand. I never know what CP is going to chat about until CP's on live on air. And literally every time, I lied to you not, and he did it tonight again. I don't know what's happening. It's kind of scary. He will talk about something I visited or needed that week. Yes, that is scary, and that is awesome. So I learn something every time, and I enjoy this. I enjoy this segment a lot. And he has a lot of knowledge, and I think, guys, you would, you know, really, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not blowing smoke, you know, up any orifices. I am telling you the truth. You really need to just listen and follow. I also want to point out that CP has The Sword in the Flame, The Forging. It is free right now on Amazon, so you need to go out there and jump into the adventure, guys. Awesome books. He's great with horror. I'm a big horror fan, and his epic fantasy is incredible, his world building, which he was touching base on a little bit. And so I really, really think you should go out there. But I just kind of did it, but where can everybody touch base with CP and grab copies of your books?
Pretty much everything is on my website, cpbialois.wordpress.com. Or if, you know, for whatever reason it's on there, just type my name in the search engine in Google. I'm the only one in existence. You will find just about everything on me.
All right, very cool. Hey, guys, I'm not finished, and I know we're going a little bit over time, but my co-host, Jamie White, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm sounding so terrible, but I don't say enough about the Lightworker series because I'm like, that is my favorite, one of my favorite series. I like to not. I love this series because, I don't know, Jamie got into this, like, novella thing going on, and the girl has brought it. I mean, she has just came out of nowhere. She's not even – and just bringing it. And so I really, really – both writers, you know, you need to go check them out. And, you know, I say this, and I feel like I'm speaking into the wind, but, God, seriously, you will enjoy it. Jamie, where can everybody touch base with you and grab copies of your book?
I have everything on my website, jamielwhite.com, JamieLwhite.
All right, guys. And
see, you're defending me right now because he picks on me a little bit about those telenovelas, but
they work. Leave her be. They are working. And guys, it's so funny because I'll watch, you know, I follow them on Facebook. So the other day, CP wrote that he wrote this heart-wrenching scene, or, you know, the scene, you know, was an emotional scene or whatever, and then, you know, so I don't know, oh, my goodness, and the next, something's getting ready to happen, you know, because last time I heard he may kill someone off, and I watched their posts, they don't realize, I watched their posts, because they'll kind of give hints to what they're doing to the characters I love, and so I watched them, and then with Jamie, Lord have mercy, if she's venting over a particular novella, because she'll vent about that segment, I don't know, oh, my gosh, something's getting ready to happen. So I'll watch their posts. So please, that's a good way to follow and see what's going to happen. They don't know it. I'll like it, but I'm like, I know what's getting ready to happen. Something's about to happen.
Well, he doesn't help when he makes certain comments here and there, like trying to get me to do certain things, you know, that I'm sure you're sitting there like cussing him out about.
Oh my gosh! Just please don't leave her be. Just as long as she leaves my favorite alone, I'm pretty good. You know, my favorite too. Alright guys, I had so much fun with you. Thank you so much for being here. CP, thank you again, because you always are on point, and it's awesome. And I'm not going to say that, you really need to write a book. I'm putting that out there. You really, both of you, you know, you've got all this knowledge. They always do these writing sprints. They always have this, you know, if you ask either one of them something, they'll, you know, as far as writing, they'll give you all these resources or whatever. So I have no idea why they haven't put it in a book yet. I'm just saying. So anyway, maybe they'll do a little handbook for us. you know, maybe that mojo will work on them, because I think it worked on Jeffrey Cook. Jeffrey Cook is the leader of the Writer Press, and he was doing the same thing. He was, you know, he was willing to help everyone. You know, he'll, you know, give them information. Some people are like, you just need to write a book. And he came out with a handbook about what do you call it, the conferences. And he rocks as well. Mm. You know, he's more steampunk, more sci-fi. But Jamie and CP, you know, they really are knowledgeable in this field. So hopefully they'll have a little handbook. You know, and so we'll see that in the future too. And when they do, you can say, you heard it first here. All right, guys. I have just taken us overtime. So you guys have a wonderful, guys, thank you for joining us. Everyone that's listening, thank you for hanging out. Jamie and Bob will be back again on Friday with the weekend edition. So until then, guys, you have a great evening. Why? Because you deserve it. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Bye.
Jamie. Bye, CP.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good one.